Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Acts 2 and 41. So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 people as a result of receiving revelation of who Jesus was. That he wasn't just a prophet, he wasn't just a man, but he was God in the flesh, Emmanuel with us. And this is the result, their behavior that came out of that revelation. People got saved, but here's how they acted. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. In other words, they devoted themselves means that they gave themselves over for exclusive use, for noble use, for absolute, solemn, and holy use. Another word for devoted is addicted use. They acted devoted or like an addicted person to the will and word and way of God. And as I read through this text, what you would see that they were addicted to was being together, praying, being together, experiencing the power of God as a result of their prayer, being together and seeing people reached. So when you have a revelation of Jesus and you stay with God's people, you'll be praying, you'll get his power, and you'll get people coming. And how do we know that? Because in Acts, we had 120 people that were in the upper room because Jesus was dead, but they had a revelation of who he was, raised from the dead, and they began to worship and pray together. The Holy Spirit began to fall, and the power of God came, and 3,000 people got saved. So what does it mean? They were devoted to four things. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, and they were devoted to food, and they were devoted to prayer. Here's the good news for the hungry people. The discipleship is not just being in God's word, it's being in your refrigerator with other people around you at that refrigerator. It's something about food that produces fellowship. You order a pizza and everybody comes. You call for a dinner and everybody comes. These people only wanted to be around each other because the Romans didn't like them. The Jews didn't like them. No one liked them, but it forced them to together. And when they saw the joy that these people had together, there became a reaction. People became attracted. And the Bible says that awe hit them. In other words, they started looking and said, man, these people got a lot of great things going on. And miracles began to happen. Breakthrough began to happen. People began to get healed. People began to get touched. The Bible says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It produces an anointing, a yoke destroying, burden removing, power of God. The Bible says two is better than one. The Bible says be of the same mind, of the same judgment. Did you think the same thing? Did you perfectly join together? You know, when you get synchronized with another person, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 5, when they harmonized the music and they harmonized their hearts and mind toward Jesus and they got the priest saying the same thing, all of a sudden the glory of the Lord was revealed and the people began to see the cloud of God and they could not even minister because they had unity. See, they were together not just praying, they were together to the degree that it pleased God and the power came. So you can't be together with somebody that you don't want to forgive. You can't be together with somebody that you're going to slander. You can't be together with somebody you're going to backbite on. I can't say in one breath that I like Kirk and then he's the builder and when something go wrong with the building, I say, but you know how our builder is. You know how them building people are. They just tore up our stuff and they left. We gave them an award and everything and now it's over. That's not together. That's fault. That's backbiting. That's slander. That lacks authenticity. But the early church had a move of God because they were together with a revelation of who God was. They didn't think that them and God was separate. They didn't think that they had a Sunday life and a Wednesday life and a private prayer life, and then they could live any way they wanted to live. They were devoted to every day living in prayer, every day living in fellowship, every day breaking the bread, every day having communion. Every day they was reminded that the good news about Jesus that saved their life was there to save other people's life. The reason thousands of people got saved is because they were rehearsing the message over and over and over and over and over again. You and I will lose sight of our purpose if we don't rehearse the message. You'll forget why you sit here. You'll forget why you come. You'll forget why you pray. The early church got us where we are today because they rehearsed it constantly. They were devoted to it. They were addicted to it. They were always in the house. That's why you can't just go home and say, I came on Sunday morning, but you don't want to get in a small group. You need to do life with people. If the only time you do life with people is here on Sunday and then you get to go do your own work and everything, let me give you a point of encouragement. You're not experiencing all the gospel is produced for you, because there's a small group of people who can help carry your burdens and remove your yokes and help change your life as a result of small groups and people being in my life and the life of people in this church. We're here. We don't get here without that. We get there because of that, because Pastor Kevin has had me in a small group context, and Pastor Jim and Pastor Rice. Don't avoid that thing of somebody getting in your life because you don't want somebody in your business. I don't want you knowing all my business. I don't want you saying nothing, because when you're really together, you struggle together, you cry together, but you don't tell somebody business. No. You're together. Really together. Our hearts are locked. You don't look and look somebody and say, when he says, greeting somebody, you tell somebody you're glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. No, you're not. You're lying. You fix that. Because if you get it right, here's the outcome. People surrender and come to Jesus, and they make him Lord of their life. The Bible says if you get to this point of the communion table, which they took every day, which is coming and enjoying the sacrament of remembering that he physically came through the bread and remembering that his blood cleansed you. When you get to that table, which they did every night of breaking the bread, and you realize you have an ought with somebody or something's not right, he said, don't even eat. He said, go get that right. You need to go fix that. Go, no, don't eat. Don't just move on. He wants you reconciled with one another. What we knew about the early church is they practiced resolving their conflicts. You can't be in here just mad at your mama. Well, you know, she was never even the thing to me. You can't be in there mad at your daddy. He wasn't there. You can't be mad at the people that are closest to you, which are the easiest to get mad at, and then come and offer your worship. I worship you, Lord. I don't know about them other people in my family, but I worship you. I wave my hands to you. They got unclean hands up. My hands are clean. No, your hands got dirty when you didn't reconcile with them. You don't have any right, and I don't have any right to come and enjoy all God's doing, but you got conflict at home. You got to get that right. You know, I know it's a fight on the way to church. Why you late? You make men mad y'all made us late. But you got to learn to drive in separate cars. That's all I do. We didn't come together. Just avoid that. You didn't come with Pastor Rice, did you? She learned that lesson. That's 30 years of marriage. Just figure that out so you can be at peace when you worship. Don't you want to be at peace? Just learn that stuff. People, I ran into some, they just, no, you learn. Just avoid that argument. It's waiting on you every time you come to church. Avoid it. We can't be late. Okay. But the power came. And when they were all in one place on one accord, then there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and the Spirit filled the place where they were sitting, and they began to speak in new tongues. In other words, something happened to the church when they were together praying that could not happen if they were not together in the same way of impact. There's something you have in your individual prayer life that you don't have when you come and pray corporately. But when you come and pray corporately, like we're going to do church, all them lost people, they're going to get saved. Now look at this. They went from 120 to 3,000 in a day. They said it was added to the church. And then I think they got another 5,000 saved within a couple weeks, a week or so. This is your assignment. before you can, we can give you any elaborate vision of what you're going to do and how great Bethel is and pull out some PowerPoint and all that, you got to understand the right disposition has to be in the house so you can take the right position, and then you can face your opposition as you go out into the world. You can do all of that. So that's my thing for you. Stay together in prayer. If you stay together in prayer, together you'll experience the power of God in a fresh and a new way to radically transform your life and pull people out of darkness into His marvelous light. Be together with people, the people who are already in your church. Don't look for your favorite friends when you come to church. That's easy pickings. That's called clicking up. You know how people say, well, you know, I don't believe in cliques, but they're in a clique. It's amazing, isn't it? But they're always with the same group. That's a clique. We come to church, and we come purposefully, because the statistic says 50% of people who are in church don't know Jesus. If that statistic is true, and right now today, half of the room has not surrendered to Jesus as Lord of their life. Half. If the statistic is true, let's say it's 20%. Let's say it's one. Then it's worth this moment I'm about to give you. Bow your head, close your eyes. If today you have realized that you and Jesus Christ don't have the type of relationship you should have, He's not Lord of your life, or you just, something's not right. You can feel it in your heart. You can't put your finger on what it is, but it's not right. Sometimes you feel like you're not saved. Sometimes you know you're saved, but you and Jesus aren't on the same page, because you still think there's something you can do. I want to free you today. He did it all. He paid it all. The best thing you can do on a day like today is surrender. Today, I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you fit the description of someone who just don't have it right with Jesus, you can't honestly say He's the Lord of your life or 100% boss. It's been lip service. And you want to take it out of lip service to pure service. Yes, God. Then this is your moment. It's just between you and Jesus. That's why everybody's eyes closed except mine. And I'm going to count three. And if you fit that description, when I say three, I'm going to have you put your hand up in the air and then put it down quickly. Because you need to acknowledge that you're in that broken place. But it's between you and the Lord. One, two, three. Thank you. I've seen all of those hands. What we're going to do as a church family is pray together. Say this after me. Say, thank you, Jesus, for the sinless life you lived as the Son of God. I believe everything about you. And therefore, I surrender to you. I believe God raised you from the dead. And I declare you're now Lord of my life. Take my life for the rest of my life. Do whatever you want to do with it. It's yours. I surrender in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet and give God a hand.